Hear the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Amen. The word of the Lord. Somehow between that passage in Acts chapter 2, go a few pages over to 1 Corinthians 11. And there's a problem. The Apostle Paul had to write a letter to the church in Corinth because they were abusing the fellowship around the table. How is that even possible? How can you go from the Lord adding to their numbers daily and everyone having everything in common and the sharing and the breaking of bread? How could just a little while later there be a problem? Well, I think I have a couple of answers for you. I think their problem, like our problem, was a problem of individualism. You see, the people in Corinth would, some, not all, would come to the houses ready to give or receive communion, and they would bring their dinner, and they would eat, and they would drink, and some would even be drunk by the time the rest of the body would get there. And in that situation, there were people who didn't have anything. And so they were just kind of left out in the cold while those who had consumed and ate and drank. And even now, this table is divided. It's divided by a lot of things. It's divided by race. It's divided by economics. It's divided by politics. But again, I think the biggest reason why this table is divided is our own individualism, our right to privacy, our inability to share our burdens, our lack of humility, our inability to lay down our pride and admit that, no, we don't always have things together. We don't want to look weak. We don't want to share our burdens because we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to admit our fears and our doubts. And it's so silly because we all have all of those things. And it is exhausting to hold on to all of those things. Around this table is where God wants to meet us. It's in this space, within this community, that he wants us to be healed. Not only to be healed, but he wants us to thrive. He wants us to live, his word says, in the fullness. So this morning, as you can see, things are set up a little bit differently this morning, and that might make you a little bit uncomfortable. That's okay. Sometimes it's good to be out of our comfort zone, because sometimes we can take the communion by rote. It's something that a lot of us have done for a long time. We take the bread, take the cup, we check that off. But this morning, I believe God is calling us to something more. He is calling us to something deeper. He's asking us to join with him in fellowship around the table. Now, I want you to understand that I'm a lifelong Baptist. And I understand that just like baptism, there's nothing magical around this table. The bread is not going to turn into Christ's body. The juice is not going to turn into his blood. We don't teach that. But what it does do, it gives us the opportunity and the space to, like, as Pastor Jonathan was just talking about, to reorganize ourselves and put the first things first, to put God back into the center. We are tactile people. And a lot of times in the Protestant church, you know, we get scared of idols and things like that, but we're tactile people. And Jesus gave us this opportunity to come together in a very physical way to remember who he is, to remember his sacrifice, and to have the opportunity to once again come and receive the forgiveness that he is offering. So this morning, I'm going to give you a lot of instructions this morning. So I want you to follow me. I want you to pay attention. First, I'm going to ask my elders, if they are here, I'd like them to come and come to the front, around the room, wherever you are. I'd like you to stand and come. Do you know our elders? These are our elders. And the Bible says that if you have a burden, if you have a sickness, if you have something that is keeping you separated from God, that you should come to the elders and have them pray for you and anoint you. I didn't give them the anointing oil this morning. My apologies. But I want you to know that they are here. They are here to pray with you. They are here to listen. They're just here to offer you a hug. The other thing, instruction I'm going to give to you this morning is that if all of this is something that is confusing to you, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, If you have not yet decided who he is to you, that's okay, because I'm going to invite you during this time to reflect. I invite you to come and have a conversation with our elders. For the rest, this morning, like I said, I want this place, this table, to be a place of community, a place of unity, a place of prayer. The word says that where two or more together, he will be with us. So we know that he is here. He's called us to bear each other's burdens. He says that we are his help. He says that we can come to him with all that we are, all that we aren't. He calls us to come. But Paul, when he was talking to the Corinthians and correcting the Corinthians, he said to them that he was only giving what he had received. And that's what we're doing this morning. I'm only giving you what I've received. The bread and the cup. But he also cautioned that before you take of the bread and the cup, that you should examine yourself. And this is kind of the part where we get a little bit skittish. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. So that's okay. He knows that. He knows you. But what he does ask you to do is to come to the table, and before taking of communion, to look again inside and acknowledge your brokenness, acknowledge your hurt, acknowledge your guilt, acknowledge your pain, acknowledge all of the things that are keeping you from a growing and vibrant relationship with him. And he asks you to lay that down. And in symbol, in taking of the broken body that was broken for you, and receiving that, and in taking the juice, which is a symbol of his blood that was shed for you, to acknowledge again in this moment that you can't do anything to help yourself, that your help comes from him, because he is your Savior, he is your God, he is your life. So this morning, I ask you to come. I ask you to come to the table, I ask you to come to the altar, I ask you to bring all that you are and all that you aren't. I ask you to bring your prayers, your tears, your fears. And once you've done that, grab the communion, and then we will partake together. Come as you are, come as you will when you're ready. Tiago, if you would help us in these moments to meditate and reflect, we would be grateful. ask for your prayers.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I before you, and I'm lost without you. Without you, I'm desperate before you, I'm desperate before you. I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you, God. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I'm not here for blessings, Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry, forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I just want you, and nothing else, and nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else. nothing else will do.
Father, we come to this table out of obedience. We come to this table to remember your sacrifice. We come to this table to give thanks. We come to this table to proclaim that you are God, that you lived and you died and you will return again. Oh, Father, some days we need you to come. Right now. How we look forward to your return. Pastor. Please lead us, Pastor, in one of your last communions here.
So, if you have not already done so, the wafer. This is the last communion that I will celebrate as a senior pastor here, and I want to tell you, I slipped out for a few minutes. You may have noticed. I fully trust Pastor Paula in the preaching of the word, so that was entrusted to her while I went downstairs. And you know what I did? I went to visit the children's ministry, and they prayed for me. It's a humbling thing to be prayed for, just as Paula has prayed for all of us, to know that Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, took that time to pray for his disciples, and in essence, for all of us. When he invited them to the supper, to the meal that would bind them together as family in faith to him, it established for all time. And in a sense, we were all there in his heart and his mind. And so today we join with a multiple thousand year celebration of multiple billions of people have put their faith in Christ. And we need nothing else. Christ alone. This is his body, broken for us. Eat this in memory of him. And then if you would please peel back the other lid and prepare to take the juice. A verse none of us should ever forget. We don't understand everything there is about how the Trinity works. We don't understand everything there is about how all sin gets paid for. We struggle with understanding how one is punished for another and takes our place. That's exactly what the Bible said, Jesus. We don't have to understand it. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so Jesus' blood was shed for us that we might be restored to him, to be in his family, to love him, to love one another. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these symbols that are very real reminders of an enormous sacrifice that was made, where no one took your life, but you laid it down for us. Because you first loved us. Now help us to love you and love one another in ways that leave us transformed forever. We pray through Christ our